Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Ken Cuccinelli, former Attorney General of the state of Virginia. And we're going to talk about something related to essentially the private sector accomplishing a goal versus the government doing the same. Now, this is related to mobile phone networks, so-called 5G. Ken, good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be with you, Jerry.
Sure. And before we get into the details, and we're not going to be technical here per se, really the overall issue again is the private sector versus the government. What exactly is the 5G or even the 4G? I guess you and I are speaking right now over the phone through a 4G system. But talk about
That's
that,
right.
If you would.
So the G is different generations of mobile phone technology. Right now, mostly deployed around the country is 4G. The next level of technology is 5G, and it has suddenly lit up a debate that has never happened before for 1, 2, 3, or 4G, and that is whether the government may build some of this. And it comes from a comment the president made about the government building it, which was shocking to me and many others, I'm sure to you as well. This is something the private sector has always done that they should do, and frankly, that they're going to do 100 times better than the government would ever do. So that's a sudden debate that has kicked up because of a comment the president made.
Okay, go ahead and comment on the president's comment. It has something to do with China?
Sure. Yeah, the reason he was concerned was not that he's suddenly become a socialist. It is that he was worried about a particular Chinese company that American intelligence believes has very close ties to Chinese intelligence services that is building such networks in other countries. And the American government, for security reasons, doesn't want the Chinese to be able to participate in the in building out the 5G network. And so Trump's, quote, solution, at least the one off the top of his head, was to say, well, government will build it.
Ooh.
And, you know, that is truly killing a gnat with a sledgehammer. If they have a genuine security concern, they do have laws that allow them to forbid the use of that Chinese technology. And while I'm no fan of regulation, I would certainly prefer a security restriction like that to the government attempting to build the whole doggone network.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want 5G to be slower and more slowly deployed and more expensive than 4G, government is the way to go.
Wow.
If you want 5G to be faster and cheaper, then we need the private sector to do it.
Okay, was this just one of these things where it was just like off the top of his head and he wasn't necessarily thinking it through, or as opposed to, you know, some sort of policy that he's going to unroll?
Well, he was talking quite intentionally about the 5G situation, but it was quite a surprise and did not appear to be part of any plan that he suggested that the government perhaps ought to build the network. That had never surfaced anywhere before, and it did not come across as part of a plan. Like I said, I'm sure our security services, CIA, FBI, counterintelligence would like to see the system built without the participation of this particular Chinese company. But like I said, you can accomplish that without the government building the entire network. That is, it would be a terrible solution and would dramatically increase the expense and reduce the effectiveness of the network right off the bat.
Yeah, I've heard you actually liken this to not only killing a gnat with a sledgehammer, but killing a gnat using a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, this is a pretty simple problem, and to try and, quote, solve it by the government building out what amounts to hundreds of millions, really billions of dollars worth of infrastructure that is the whole network of a private company. I mean, who's going to own it? How is that going to work? I mean, we don't even need to get into all of that. This is genuine socialism if it were to take place this way, where all we need to do is protect ourselves from the Chinese intelligence service. And look, there's a simple way to do it, as I mentioned. It's a little disappointing to see Trump even consider such an alternative, frankly.
Well, maybe it could be just one of those things where he hadn't really thought through the implications of what he was saying. So, you know, it's interesting, though.
I definitely think that's the case.
Yeah, there's definitely
like one of those.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like one of those 140 character Twitter thoughts he has. You know,
well,
oftentimes we wish he didn't.
Yeah, but it's you know, in the big picture of things, there really is a divide between those fellow Americans, and I wouldn't put Trump in this category, where they think overall that government is the solution versus those who think, no, the private sector is the better way to go. You know, you can have the government for the safety net or, you know, for some common sense regulations to protect the little guy or whatever. But, you know, in the big picture, it's the private enterprise that's going to really, you know, provide better solutions for all of us or for more Americans.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and I do think that as the head of the Regulatory Action Center at FreedomWorks Foundation, I do need to make a point. You mentioned regulations to help the little guy. That is not who regulations typically help. The people hurt the worst. The smaller you are, the worse regulations are for you, and it's one of the points that we try to make a lot at FreedomWorks. The people hurt worse, first and worst by regulation are almost always poor people, because when you reduce options, the people who have the least financial flexibility are the ones who are hurt the most. They have the least choices and the least alternatives. And while there may be no way around this situation with respect to the security concerns related to this particular Chinese company, the concept still holds true. Regulation as a general matter should be a much more of a last resort than it has been the last 10, 20, 30 years for both Republicans and Democrats. I mean, George Bush grew the regulatory rule book more than anybody in history until President Obama came along. One of Trump's accomplishments is shrinking it. But I would, since we've noted the Chinese are essentially our enemy in this security arena, I would like to point out one example on the positive side for the Chinese, and that is while they have never loosened their grip and really expanded significantly on political freedom in China very much in the last 30 or 40 years, there are two parts to societal life. There's political freedom and economic freedom. In the economic realm, China has accomplished moving more people from poverty to the middle class than at any time in the history of the world.
That's fantastic.
Since 1980, over 400 million people, and they did it in one simple way. In the economic side of their country,
yes,
the government didn't do X, Y, or Z. It just got out of the way.
Wow.
It just got out of the way.
Yeah.
And the Chinese people have had a long history of being hardworking, entrepreneurial, perseverant, thousands of years of history with that kind of history. All their government had to do to move 400 million people from poverty to the middle class in 30 years was just step aside and get out of the way and let them do it. And there's a real lesson for the whole world in that.
Yeah.
Government, as Ronald Reagan said so often, is not part of the solution. It is part of the problem.
Yeah.
And in the economic sphere, that's absolutely true. And it isn't just about money and opportunity. It's about freedom as well.
Yeah, and if I may, since I looked at this recently, in the Black Book of Communism, this big, thick book put out by Harvard University Press, 1999, and they talk about the crimes of the communists in the 20th century, And Mao, who died in 1976, and you're talking about what happened in China in 1980, 4 years after his death.
Right.
Here, Mao put to death 65 million human beings.
Million.
Yep. Million human beings, Chinese, in order to force them to have this communist system, which did not lift the people out of poverty. And then you're saying that 4 years after he died, by the Chinese government then changing its policies, getting out of the way, then 400 million people went from the poor side to the, you know, comfortable side. That's really a great lesson, you know, again, comparing the private sector versus what the government can do.
Absolutely. And you know, it's worth remembering, I'm Catholic. I'm proud of the record the Catholic Church has in helping poor people. Uh-huh. Nobody's been doing it for so long, 2,000 years, right? But they help people typically who are in poverty. And capitalism, free market capitalism, allows those same people to themselves get up out of poverty. And when our government always saying we have the best interest, this is all good-hearted rules and regulations,
yeah,
when they do that, overwhelmingly that slows down opportunity, and it slows down in that little increment the opportunity to expand wealth. And here we're talking about wealth not in terms of becoming rich, but in terms of becoming self-sustaining on your own financially. That's what we mean by going from the impoverished to the middle class, is that is an expansion of both wealth and opportunity. Now, no one would call those 400 million people rich,
yeah,
but they're no longer wondering if they're going to survive till next month because they don't have enough to feed their family.
Excellent.
That is gone and over with for those people. That's a big difference. It's important to help poor people. There's a moral imperative for us as individuals to do that as Christians. But from a societal standpoint, the path out of poverty,
yes,
is capitalism.
Yeah. You mentioned Reagan. It's like the old quote from Reagan. You know, some of the most scary words you'll ever hear is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
I'm here to help you. Yeah.
What was your point about
what the 5G kind of comment?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and what was your point, though, about
I
being
just
Catholic?
Help.
Yeah. What was your point about the Catholic being Catholic that just that
well,
the
know,
emphasis
so
on helping
much
the poor?
Charity work that all the I think all of our churches, Christian churches, focus on helping the poor, but overwhelmingly they do it where they are. You know, they help them cover a utility bill this month. It's food pantries to help them tide over a tough spot, what we hope is short term. But it is the capitalist system that gives them the opportunity within this world to stand on their own 2 feet financially and not need that help.
Yep.
From government or our churches or anybody else. And there are plenty of people on the left who will never admit this.
Yep.
They want people poor because that dependency is is an opportunity for political influence and power for those who advocate for the government programs. And so it becomes this cycle.
Yeah.
Some people think it's an unfortunate accident that our what do they call it? The war on poverty since 1965 hasn't actually reduced poverty.
No.
But I'll tell you what, it certainly has expanded a huge welfare-dependent political faction, and they're firmly in the Democrats' pocket because they're socialists who are pro-government as their first line. As you said, people who look to government to solve problems instead of looking to the private sector and the opportunities of their own.
And speaking of presidents and speaking of Catholics, the first Catholic president, John F. Kennedy, said in reference to tax cuts, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And
I think
that concept is such a great one to end on. Thank you so much for being with us. Freedomworks.org for more information. Ken Cuccinelli has been our guest for this segment on Vocal Point. Thank you so much, Ken. All the best.
Good to be with you, Jerry.
You too. Bye-bye.